You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you may be listening to Rudolf Steiner Audio located as a podcast at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. And if you are listening to the podcast, please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 316 by Rudolf Steiner, Understanding Healing, a lecture cycle, Meditative Reflections on Deepening Medicine Through Spiritual Science. This is Lecture 5, given in Dornach on the 6th of January, 1924. My dear friends, following on from yesterday, I have now had a look at your questions. They are all, of course, connected with the things we discussed yesterday. Now, the questions that have been asked, and which comprise what I would like to describe as the first category, have all been raised out of a kind of heartfelt apprehension. Individual questions will find an answer in the course of the lectures. It will not be possible to answer other questions, which are all basically more or less the same, theoretically, except as a result of the things that can arise from this course. Because basically all these questions amount to one thing, namely how the participants in this course can find their medical way after Dornach. These questions will be discussed today, placing them between what I spoke about esoterically yesterday and what I will speak about esoterically again tomorrow, with regard to the real continued effect of the impulse, which I can only deal with in such a brief way in so few lectures. This real continued effect will, in the first instance, have to form the basis for what we will continue to discuss esoterically tomorrow. I want to begin by adding a few things in general which follow on from what was said yesterday. Little is achieved, my dear friends, by generally directing people, or by people directing themselves, from the sensory and physical world to the spiritual. Such a general reference to the spiritual accords, of course, in every area of life, and we have to say most intensely in the medical field, and for physicians searching for their path, with an innermost need which also lives in the soul. But this need is one in many respects which must find a greater focus within itself, greater inner clarity, and also, and this is maybe the main thing, greater inner strength than is normally the case. You possess all these things as an inner striving, my dear friends, but a path has to be determined. I can begin by giving the impulse for such a path, but you then have to introduce real striving forward in connection with Dornach, with this impulse. Everyone who sets themselves this task, and the questions indicate that this is being done with all intensity, should know that a general striving for the spiritual is not enough. The point is that such striving for the spiritual should take a very concrete form in the various areas of life. And so it is absolutely necessary that we once again immerse ourselves in coexisting with the whole essence of the cosmos, with the reality of the cosmos to a greater or lesser extent. People do not experience the cosmos today, and because they do not experience the cosmos, they do not experience the spiritual. Because spirituality can only be achieved by way of the cosmos. The way medical knowledge presents itself through its outer form, its development, its external appearance, does not provide any spiritual knowledge about existence. Not until we are able to place things and beings into their complete cosmic context will we be able to look through the veil of nature and see the spiritual forces behind it. Now, it is indeed the case that it was possible, in the anthroposophical movement, to study, to experience in great detail over the last 20 years, the difficulties that can arise when we pursue a spiritual life. And it might at first even look a bit superficial, if we outline briefly what those difficulties were. They were simply this, that those who were striving for esoteric things in some area or other simply made it too easy for themselves, refused to make an effort. Quite simply, the esoteric path is a difficult one, or it is none at all. And you cannot achieve esoteric development by taking it easy. We have to take the general comment, which is made so often, that difficulties have to be overcome, that human beings have first to get beyond themselves in all seriousness. And from this point onward, from the time onward that was initiated by the Christmas conference in Dorna, a kind of transformation should occur in the whole way that the anthroposophical movement thinks, including in the individual fields. And in seeking your medical path, you also have to participate, right from the beginning, in such a real transformation, so that the esoteric path is not just some kind of addition, but represents nothing less than your life's path being completely filled with esoteric impulses. Everything that can be done in this respect will be done in these lectures. But something has to follow on from that, as I will go on to say at the end of today's discussion. Let us take another look at something in detail. Because if you are not willing, my dear friends, to look at details in spiritual observation, you will not be able to find the path into the spiritual sphere. You should not think that you can only truly find the spirit as a dreamer, or as someone who indulges in all kinds of vague inspirations and the like. The spiritual must be obtained through real work, with a most serious inner endeavor. And it can only be obtained on the basis of what exists in the spiritual world. And so, to begin with, let us look at a detail. I have already said that we can learn a great deal from the plant world, but let us now look at such a plant. People today simply see them as the root, the stem, then the flower, the leaves, the pistil in the middle, the stamen, and the seeds. The seed develops in the ovaries, and people describe what we see in the plant in this way, rather like we describe an armchair, with the additional information that sometimes we might also sit in it. That is roughly how people describe plants. They describe how the root is located in the ground, how it absorbs physical forces, chemical forces, and substances, how the sap rises through capillaries or similar things. It is considered an error, as false, if we refer to a spiral arrangement of the leaves, or at least people do not know that this is connected in some way with the cosmos. People then describe the flower, at most thinking of a force when they want to understand the color of a bright flower and its substances, or fertilization. People describe all those things as they would describe a person sitting down in an armchair, in exactly the same spirit. They describe it quite outwardly. Now, the essential nature of what we have to understand in the plant will not be understood at all in this way, but we have to be clear that when we look at such a plant, we see a wonderful secret in the roots, which are lowered into the soil. And the stem, with the leaves, indicates another secret, as does what happens at the top with the flower. You see, my dear friends, when we look at the root and the way it dips into the soil, this is where the plant terminates, we might say, in relation to the earth, the solid earth. But the root could not get anything from the soil if the soil were not subject first to the influence of the cosmic environment. The cosmic environment, and by that I mean not just referring to the warmth and light of the sun, but also to what comes from the rest of the planetary system associated with our earth, influences the earth and penetrates it a little way from the surface. And the forces which are stimulated in this way, in the substances of the earth, these forces enable the root to be within the earth. Now we can try and see where we can find these forces again. Well, these same forces that we found around the plant root are found again in the human head. But we find them there in quite a different way from how they are around the plant root in the soil. And we will not get a proper inner perception of what is happening here if we stop at what natural science can give us today. And that is what many of you referred to in your questions as the chaotic element which has been placed in your souls by the natural science of today. It is indeed necessary that we should gain living access, once again, also to external substances and agents, that we should gain living access to what was once called earth, water, air, and fire. Because if all we ever do is talk about hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, sulfur, phosphorus, in the way that chemistry does, these things will always have something superficial about them. You will never be able to think anything other than that you stand there as a human being, and somewhere outside you there is oxygen or nitrogen. It is something quite indirect which you learn about oxygen and nitrogen through the physiology or chemistry of today. You learn through physiology that there is nitrogen in the human organism, but you do not experience it there. It is important to start with those things that can be experienced, and what can be experienced must connect profoundly with the whole essence of the human being, if we want to put ourselves at the service of the way that the world develops. Because that is what we do when we want to heal. Now, one of the things that belongs with the old elements is that every person knows that they can experience them. Take warmth, for example. Warmth as a quality of nature. We experience it. We become warm or feel cold. We do not experience warmth in the outward way in which we experience oxygen or nitrogen. That is the unique characteristic of the ancient way of looking at nature, that it based itself on experience which we can enter into, not which we have to stand outside of. So let us stay with the element of warmth, of fire, because that is the thing where the experience is most palpable, if I may use that paradoxical expression. We know that we experience warmth as human beings. Now the same thing which the earthy element, represents for the plant root, is represented for the human head by warmth. And now, imagine what appears to you as the solid earth, if you have the earth here, and there's a drawing, but without the earthy element itself, the watery element, the airy element. And imagine that what remains is warmth. It is quite possible to imagine that. And take the whole thing, there's another drawing, you have below here and above here, and you turn it around so that you have below here and above here. Then you have truly polar opposites. On the one hand, you can imagine, if we have below here and above here, and warmth has been released here, as far down as the earthy element, that the plant root is in there. But when warmth is in here on its own, when the airy, watery, and earthy elements have gone, and, conversely, the ground is here, from which the warmth is gone, then if we have the root-like, the plant-like, here, we have here what comes from the human head itself. Readers aside, I apologize for these here. Steiner's pointing some diagrams, and obviously you can't see them. My apologies. End of readers aside. So what does that mean? My dear friends, it means this, that you can say to yourselves, I look at the plant root, and it is in the earthy ground. I look at the human head, it is in the warmth ground, only the ground is reversed. That is because what happens up here lies four stages back from this. If we call what happens with the plant root an earth event, then you have to call what is still happening with the head today as the result of warmth a Saturn event. In between there are sun and moon events. And if you now imagine the human head without all the things that later entered into it, the earthy, watery, airy elements, and you just imagine the warmth active in the head, which supplies the rest of the organism with differentiated warmth, you only imagine the warmth organism present in the head, then today you have a small Saturn in the human head. You currently have the old Saturn organization in the head. And if you understand the connection, you can say, innumerable years ago, there was a development in the cosmos which anticipated all that is warmth-like in the human head. And the plant root creates an image of what happened then in the earth element today. There you have the connection. You can see old Saturn in the warmth organization of the head. But such an insight, if it happens in the right way, must be properly connected not just with theoretical ideas, but with inner moral impulses. We have to be able to look at the human head in such a way that we say, what effect does it have on us when we look at the human head? And it is there, like the living, embodied memory of that ancient time of development in the cosmos, the Saturn period. Try permeating yourself with the feeling, I am a human being, on the one hand, who has reached a certain age. I think of my childhood. Childhood memories arise. As a person who has grown older, I immerse myself in my childhood memories. We then have a certain inner experience before which we can stand with moral force. And now expand this feeling, this sense, to the point where you can say, I existed as a human being in the old Saturn period. If I understand my head correctly in the present time, it exists like a living reminder of the original time when the cosmos was created. And let me say that what is formed through the childhood memories will still seem infinitely multiplied to me if we get as far as the ancient Saturn period, through these childhood memories, through the living human head. All such knowledge is only of value if it is immersed directly in the moral mind. If we can feel an inner thrill because we are immersed in a feeling for the cosmos through the activity of the human being. And meditation for physicians does not mean only brooding on thoughts, but meditating consists in placing such connections before our soul, and through such connections, inner differentiated feelings in which we can experience inner upheaval of all kinds. You see, I might meet a person whom I have not seen for 40 years. When I meet him in his current form, I see his childhood before my soul. I see him as a child before me, and that produces a certain inner upheaval. Today I look at the plant root. By looking at the plant root, I develop the ability to relate the plant root to the human head, and the human head takes me back to the ancient Saturn period. Meditation has to include the whole of the soul part of the human being. It has to stimulate profound inner life. This is intended to indicate a direction in which, after the basis has been created through a kind of exoteric course, everything in the esoteric sphere must be directed toward a feeling experience of the whole cosmos in connection with the complete human being. Because just as you can gain an understanding of Saturn existence through observing the connection between the human head and the growth of the roots in the plant, the sun's existence can become clear through the connection between the human heart and the development of the stem and leaves in the plant. And conversely, the development of the stem and leaves in the plant is a living memory of existence on the old sun. And when we rise to the flower, in which the seed is created in the plant, then we get to what is connected with the human metabolic system, the limb system. And if in this connection we look at what happens in the flower together with the human metabolic and limb system, something comes to appearance which is like a memory of the old moon period. And if you take this inner feeling experience, my dear friends, if you really feel these connections inwardly through profound meditation, you will experience even more. Then something very significant will happen in your soul. Then, when you turn your soul toward the plant with such deeper sentience, you will begin to have the feeling that no plant root is at rest. You will feel, with regard to each plant root, that it is moving. You will learn to recognize this feeling. I can only present these things in outline. I can only give an indication of an impulse on this occasion, indicate the way in which such inner experience, such knowledge of nature, must be developed into wisdom. You will experience such movement of the plant roots. If you observe them in this way, you will feel as if you were traveling through cosmic space with the plant root. And there's a picture. Through this experience alone, through getting into this vehicle, as we might say, which travels through space, and you travel with it at the speed of the plant root, you will experience the movement of the whole of our planetary system through space. In the plant root, you experience the movement of our whole planetary system through space. And if you then go to the growth of the leaves and experience this in the way I have described, you will once again experience a kind of movement. And that is the true experience, the inner experience of the movement of the earth. Movement of the planetary system, root. Movement of what is connected in stem and leaf, earth movement. What the Copernican system says about the movement of the earth around the sun is, after all, a construct. You will perceive the real movement of the earth when you study the way in which the stem and leaves are connected with one another. With the stem and leaves, you are moving with the earth in concordance with the sun, so that the earth looks the way in which it is described in the Copernican system. But in reality, it is a much more complex movement. When you look up toward what happens in the flower, where we have the stamen and pistils, and experience that, then you will experience the movement of the moon around the earth, through what happens in the flower. An experience of the movement in what is already separated from the earth. The whole of the planetary system, including the earth, is experienced in the root of the plant. The movement of the earth is experienced in the stem and leaves. The movement of the moon, that is, those things which are already separated, is experienced in the seed production of the plant. I tell you these things, my dear friends, so that you gain some insight into what is not taken into account at all in contemporary science, because these things are not considered to be knowable or worth knowing. But they are the things which need to be known, because otherwise you do not know anything at all. And I say these things also for another reason. I do not think that what someone can learn about the plants could come as a shock to them. It leaves them quite indifferent. They receive it like something to which they are indifferent. They do not go through anything. But if in the course of a second medical course, which you'll be able to attend, you learn about the planetary movements, the movement of the earth and the moon by way of the plants, something that happens in a somewhat different way also through the minerals, and by way of human beings, that will not leave you indifferent. Indeed, my dear friends, we are faced today with the necessity of applying our way of gaining insights to things like these. And our hearts feel that the ways of gaining insight have to go along these lines. But what is offered to hearts today is something doctrinal, which contains nothing of reality, because people believe they have reality in what can be understood in small portions. What is the procedure in science today? It is really as follows. I always think of it as if someone were to go to Dresden to look at the Sistine Madonna, and a scientist came up to him and told him, "But the Sistine Madonna is nothing but an outward impression." And then he would proceed to take the painting of the Madonna out of its frame and cut it into smaller and smaller pieces until there was a pile of atom-sized pieces. Then he would say, "Now you know what the Madonna is really like." That is not true. If we want to gain a true understanding of the Madonna, we first of all have to understand religious intentions through what religion can offer us. Then we have to see what was put into the Madonna through the spirituality of Raphael, and many other things. But that would be the next step. And in this way we have to attempt to understand the intentions of the gods, the divine spiritual beings who are behind what is physical. That will have to be explained in the second course. And only in this way is it possible to bring people close to reality. So if you take what I have spoken about now as a suggestion, you will be able to understand the two meditations which will awaken powers of gaining medical insight in you in the way I spoke them yesterday. And you can do this meditation such that at first you simply immerse yourself in the external appearance of fire, of warming fire, and that you learn to comprehend with heartfelt seriousness that this outer appearance of fire is external maya, appearance, illusion. But behind the fire, something quite different is at work. Behind the fire, there is active will. Active will. And there's a picture. You might well ask, how do I recognize that there is active will behind fire? It has always been the case in esoteric schools, and what comes from these schools, that an appeal is made to the pupils themselves. If you simply allow what I have told you today to enter your mind, you will begin to understand inwardly that there is active will wherever there is fire, just as you begin to understand that there is spirit and soul when you see the shape of a human face, a human form. Wherever you find fire, in the smallest match, there is active will. From the beginning, there is active will where there is fire. And in order to be able to penetrate the other substances of nature, you have to develop this to a stage in which a burning match is not just the external appearance to you, as which it is described today, but that you perceive it as active will. Because if you can transform your mind in this way, truly transform it, then you will find that your soul begins to feel in quite a different way. It will adopt a completely different attitude to your surroundings. Then you will not just experience things as you do when you live in reality. You will feel yourself connected in your own active will with what is fire. You will immerse yourself from your own human being in the world and will truly be able to experience fire in a much finer way than previously, because the affinity with your own will appears. You will experience this affinity wherever fire appears. You must learn, I am in this fire because it is active will. It is part of me like my finger is. You will only experience air in your being if you experience it as courage. Everywhere where wind occurs, wind blowing in nature, you will feel it in your own soul as courage. So what you see in external nature as air is courage. Courage is air. You should experience that in your soul. Water is the external appearance of sentience. Where sentience occurs, something is at work inwardly, which appears outwardly as water. Water is sentience. And where there is earth, the solid earth, such firmness is the same thing as the thought. After all, life freezes in the thought. If you can grasp these four thoughts in meditation, if you can learn to think that fire is active will, if you can take the external appearance of fire as a revelation of the active will, if you can approach fire in such a way that you see active will in it, in the same way that you see spirit and soul in the human form, if you can sense that the outer form of fire is maya, if in the blowing wind, in the clouds, you can sense that these are the phenomena that reveal courage, if you can see water as sentience coming to appearance everywhere in the world, if you can see something in earth everywhere that is equal to your thoughts, then you will find the path which will enable you to recognize in yourselves what you can discuss in these 8 days, what we can discuss in these 8 days, that the organic process occurring in you as earth formation, starting from the head and extending downward, that this organic process is continuous earth formation, bringing together something of substance in earth formation, and that this is the essence of the thought. If you move to the essence of respiration, if you feel how in respiration the aeriform part of the human being circulates, then you will recognize in the aeriform, in the action of the aeriform in human beings, everything that is activity in human beings, that leads human beings into the external world to assert themselves in the external world. And you will seek to learn from a variety of phenomena in nature what happens with air in human beings themselves. And you will recognize how sentience working centrifugally and centripetally, lives in everything connected with the watery element, the water or fluid organism in human beings, with its finer flexibility. You will recognize what is movement in the air through a semicircular movement, a movement from the top downward. You will recognize that what lives in the fluid is centripetal and centrifugal movement in human beings, always seeking to maintain an equilibrium. You will learn to find the transition to what happens with the elements inside human beings through observing what nature does externally. But the prerequisite is that we do not stop at ordinary observation, because all normal observation turns us into earth ourselves, dries us out, and makes us fixed so that we lose all flexibility. There is a lot in what I have told you in outline today. I have left out all kinds of intermediary stages, but I cannot tell you every detail. That would take too long. I can only point you in the right direction. You can see from this that there will have to be a change in the way in which courses are organized today. So it is up to you to see that the things which I have pointed out here can truly bear fruit in you. To this end, it is necessary that you answer a large part of the questions you have asked with a heavy heart, and which I read with a heavy heart, because they indicate in such a profound way what our time requires today. That you answer some of these questions by remaining in permanent contact with the Gertianum. In that way, you will experience a constant fertilization of your medical studies, wherever you may undertake them. That, of course, requires that you truly have the feeling that you must work seriously at your studies. Some serious work has to be done. And you must have another feeling, which has to come very sincerely and honestly from within yourselves. You must decide, or not, that in the coming period, medical studies must be fertilized from Dornach. And medical studies will be fertilized from Dornach in the way that is required, so that the path is chosen in medicine, which must be followed. Then another issue will be the question of karma. Because, of course, anyone who wants to heal must have an intimate relationship with karma in the world. Well, I will speak further about that in the next few sessions. You cannot heal by going against karma. You can only heal as is required by karma. But karma is not something where you can superficially say, if someone is ill, let them stay ill, that is their karma. And if they become healthy again, that is karma too. We must not make those kinds of judgments. The question as to how karma in particular works in human life requires thorough cosmic deepening. These things will be done from Dornach for those who seek them. I have already said that these impulses will be given in future from truly esoteric sources, because it is necessary for those things to be taken into account which simply exist as realities and which were strongly envisaged at the Christmas conference when the General Anthroposophical Society was founded. With regard to the field of medicine, they are the following. In a much deeper sense than I already mentioned yesterday, I am not worried about whether others copy the medicines of, if only people in future properly understand, in a much deeper sense, that esoteric medical studies should be undertaken in connection with Dornach. That requires that medical study should be undertaken in future in the same way as the other branches of spiritual life in Dornach. You see, it has always been the case in the life of the Anthroposophical Society that all the personalities who wanted to become esotericists did not observe the conditions of esoteric life, simply the inner conditions of esoteric life, thoroughly enough. And so, within the Anthroposophical movement, we have, over the years, been able to achieve what is required really only in two areas, namely in the field of general anthroposophy and the field of eurythmy and the art of speech. But what has developed in these fields as inner activity, as independent inner activity, must truly develop in all the sections which are now to be set up. And that means submitting in full trust to the conditions which are being established from herein. These conditions include that in the first instance I will have to do all the things which need to be done in the medical field, together with Dr. Wegmann, who has prepared herself for the medical field throughout the course of the anthroposophical movement, and is now so much part of this whole medical stream that she must lead it together with me. So only those will be able to find their way with guidance from Dornach who follow Dr. Wegmann in trust. That is why we will have to establish in the coming period that those who wish to remain in constant contact with the section for the revitalization of medicine should turn to Dr. Wegmann with their concerns in full and absolute trust, in a form which we can still discuss further. We will answer the corresponding questions periodically, perhaps monthly, in a newsletter for those who at the end of this course have thereby, as it were, become students at the Dornach Gratianum. That is how it will be in this and in the other sections. These newsletters will answer the questions put by individuals, and all those involved in the section concerned will receive the answers. But this will not work without inner trust. That creates a real relationship, and all your human and medical requirements will be met in the immediate future. It will initially be set up in this way, and then we can proceed to set up further facilities in order to create a connection in this way. The great error which occurred in our esoteric life until now was that people thought, in great arrogance, that they should all receive their esoteric exercises only from me. Everyone wants to deal with me and with no one else. That is what has caused our esoteric work to fail so far. But the inner occult foundations dictate that what lives in the esoteric sources must be passed on through the appropriate people. It is part of esotericism that the personalities determined by destiny to do so must pass on this esoteric material. That was rejected because people were insufficiently modest in their demands. But if nothing changes, we will not, of course, get any further in the newly founded Anthroposophical Society either. It has to happen. Thus far, what I have initially presented in outline, I will go on to explain in greater detail how the esoteric work has to continue. I just wanted to present this to you, and we'll continue with our esoteric observations tomorrow. Then I truly intend to answer the majority of your questions, which all amount to this one thing. How do I find a path of schooling which comes from Dornach? You can find it, but you must have trust. That does not mean a blind belief in authority, but meaningfully building on a foundation, an inner foundation, accepting the conditions which have been created by destiny. That's it for today, then. We will continue tomorrow. Don't worry, I will deal with individual questions to the extent that they require to be answered in this way. Review: fire, active will; air, courage; water, sensibility or sentience; earth, thoughts. The end of Lecture 5.